Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word.
Good morning, Denver Bible Church.
Good morning.
I have had this idea in the back of my mind for a long time to make a documentary. And I'm really disappointed because it's never going to happen. That's just a reality. Number one, I don't have the time. Number two, the money. Number three, I think it was Mel Gibson that said it's a miracle to make a bad movie. And so it's a lot harder to even make a good movie. So it's just not going to happen. But here's what it would be if it did happen. I want to go to churches all across the country. I want to go to thousands of them. And I want to do man-on-the-street type interviews with the people that attend these churches, with the leaders. I just envision it. They're coming to church, and I'm asking them a quick question. They're leaving church. I'm asking them a quick question. I'm interviewing the pastors and the elders and the youth ministers, etc. And so far, I've only come up with two questions that I would ask them. And here's what they are. The first one would be, does the name Cornelius mean anything to you? Now, it might sound like a very broad question, but the reality is it's not, okay? So there's only three answers. The first one is, I've never heard of the name Cornelius, and that would be a very popular answer that I would get. The second answer would be, well, there is Yukon Cornelius from the 1964 Rankin Bass Christmas TV special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That would be an answer. And if you Google it, this is all you're going to get. And the third answer would be, well, sure, he's in the Bible. He's an important character in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Second question I would ask is, have you ever heard of the Jerusalem Council? That would be the second question I would ask. And my guess is that the majority of the people that I would do these quick man-on-the-street type interviews would have no clue what I was talking about. These are significant events. These are significant characters in the Bible. In my opinion, the Jerusalem Council is the last significant event in church history, and it greatly affected us. What we believe, what we do, why we're here is because of what happened at the Jerusalem Council, yet Christians have not heard of it. So the goal for me to do this documentary, which probably will never happen, would be to wake up the church. And the reason the church needs to be woken up is because we have an absolute crisis in Christianity. And I'm very, very passionate about this. And the crisis is the church as a whole has abandoned the scriptures, completely abandoned God's word. So Christians far and wide, this is gone. God's word is gone. Now, this morning, just to make it clear so that everybody realizes it, there's obviously going to be exceptions for everything that I'm going to say. And hopefully, a lot of the exceptions are here this morning, right? But what I'm speaking about is I'm speaking in generalities, and I'm speaking big picture because this is a problem as a whole with the church today. And it's a very, very significant one. So in this country, pastors are no longer teachers. They're no longer teaching the Bible. So in the Bible, there is no difference between a pastor and a teacher. They're the same. But pastors are no longer teachers. What are they? They're now business owners, right? Pastors are now business owners. And their goal is to essentially run the business, keep the numbers up, make sure they're raising enough money to pay the bills, budgeting, etc. Elders in churches across the country no longer practice biblical eldership. The elders now function as the board for this business that I just mentioned. That's what the elders are there for. They're to make sure that the business runs smoothly, that the business is profitable, that we are firing the people that attend the church that ask questions and that maybe ask good questions about what's being said from the pulpit. That's now what the elders do. Fathers, Christian fathers across the country have literally abandoned the Bible. So they are too busy working to read the Bible. They no longer practice spiritual leadership in the home like they're supposed to. And they essentially expect the church to do it. So the pastor is going to teach my kids God's word. The Sunday school teachers at church are going to teach my kids God's word. And this is really sad, but a lot of them think that their wife, who's homeschooling the kids, she is going to teach the children God's word. And in my opinion, the father should be the spiritual leader in the household. This should be his role, whether or not his wife is a homeschool mother or not. Mothers, sadly, no longer have time to read and study the Bible as they pursue careers. And a full-time job plus motherhood, as we all know, leaves not one second of extra time. I still don't know how working moms do it, because it seems impossible to me, but somehow they make it happen. Children are no longer taught the Bible. They are flat out not taught the Bible. If they go to public school, clearly they're not being taught God's word, because God's word is not allowed. Believe it or not, the scriptures are not taught in Christian school either. And I'm living proof of that. So I went to Christian school my entire life. So what is that? 13 years of Christian education. And I left without knowing anything about this book, practically speaking. I knew nothing. Parents are not teaching their children the Bible at home. And sadly, this is true even among homeschool families. Even homeschool families are not prioritizing and teaching their children the Bible. There's a growing push that I've seen nationwide for homeschooling to be about IQ. So we want our kids, we're going to homeschool our kids because we want them to be really, really smart. We want them to be smarter than everybody else. Our goal by homeschooling them is so that they get the best college scholarship, so that they can get a degree as fast as possible, and so that they can have a career. That's not why we decided to homeschool. We chose to homeschool because we are supposed to raise our children in the training and admonition of the Lord, which is what Ephesians 6:4 says. So it's not about how much they're going to know. It's not about college. It's not about IQ. It's not about a career. That's why we chose to homeschool, was to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So my kids are 7, 4, and 1. So I'm in the middle of this right now. We're already homeschooling our children. We always have a 1-year-old that's going to be schooled in the future. And so a few years ago, I was thinking, you know, I mean, this is obviously new to me, right? This whole homeschooling thing. And for a lot of us, it's new to us. We have kids, we decide we're going to homeschool. And I said, there's so much, let's make a list, let's prioritize it. So I started with just, what are the top 3 things that I want to make sure my wife and I are training our kids in, are teaching our kids, are educating our kids? I came up with 3 things. And again, these are just what I came up with. Everybody's probably going to be a little bit different, and these are in no particular order, but the 3 things that I thought to myself, these have to take priority, and they have to take priority for a reason, and here's what they were: gun safety, God's word, and finances. Those are the 3 that I came up with that I thought needed to come right up to the top of the list. Well, let me tell you why. Gun safety, because we have guns in our house. I've got quite a few guns. I've got big guns, small guns, medium-sized guns, okay? I decided that I need to protect my family. I don't exactly trust where this country is headed, and I have to do my job, right? I love the police. I love when the government does what they're supposed to do in protecting us, but when it comes down to it, I might have to defend my family from somebody that is at my house, and there's no one else that can come there to help protect us. So I made the decision we're going to have guns so that we can protect ourselves from other people that have guns. Well, I don't want any accidents, right? That's the last thing I want, is an accident in our house with our children, because I could never get over that. So gun safety. We have to teach our kids, this is a gun, here's how powerful it is, here's what it could do, here's what you're allowed to do, here's what you're not allowed to do, etc. If you want to see the gun, you ask and you can see it. If you want to shoot the gun, ask and we'll go shoot the gun. So, gun safety. Second one was God's word. This was obvious to me because God's word is our instruction manual for life, right? It's our instruction manual for life. So it's so incredibly foundational. Our children need to be armed with the truth before they go into battle in the real world. And we've got approximately 18 years to do that. That's a long time, right? There's definitely time to arm them for this battle, but that's not happening. The reason the third one I came up with was finances, money, is because money is a necessary aspect of life, especially in this day and age. There's no way to function without money. You just can't do it. And there's no education on finances, right? It doesn't happen in schools. It doesn't happen in homeschool. And money, by the way, is also very, very complicated. So we hear things. We do what our parents did. We do what our grandparents did. But we really don't necessarily have formal education on money. And so what happens? Well, you have young children that get married young, which I think is great. They leave the house and they have no education on money. So all of a sudden they are in credit card debt. They're losing their house. They're essentially becoming slaves to people that they owe money to because they've never been educated on how it all works, what to do, what not to do, etc. So I figured that would be an important thing for our kids to learn as they grow. Now, these three things, okay, gun safety, God's word, and money, those three are not taught anywhere, right? And those made the three top spots on our list, and they're just not taught anywhere. Now, just to be clear, I'm not saying math and science and geography and history are not important, right? We're going to do all those with our kids. They're all great. But I'm just saying that we need to have priorities. And I have been in rooms with Christians who prioritize math over the Bible. And I just have a problem with that. So we're going to teach our kids, obviously, about the history of our country. But what about the history of our faith? Isn't that a little bit more important? I'd rather my children know the patriarchs than the founding fathers. Amen? We're going to teach our kids geography, but how about the geography behind the stories of the Bible and the history of the world and God's creation? If you want to retain Bible study, if you want to really retain it, if you want your kids to really retain it, learn the geography in addition to the text that you're reading. Be able to visualize on a map, be able to visualize what the country's layout is as you're reading the Bible, and you will retain it way more. I'd rather my children know where Israel and Egypt are than the 50 capitals of our 50 states in America. Now, we're going to do science. We're going to purchase microscopes, right? We're going to do science labs. But how about the science that defends the creation account in Genesis? Isn't that a little bit more important? How about preparing our children for the lies they're going to be told as they grow older, such as You were not created by God. You're an animal. God doesn't exist. You came from slime. There was never a global flood, etc., etc. I'd rather my children know and understand dinosaur soft tissue and the hydroplate theory than the boiling point of liquid in a vacuum. It's incredibly more relevant to their life and who they're going to become and what they're going to face when they leave my parenthood. So we have a complete abandonment of the scriptures by pastors, elders, parents, and as a result, children. And what this has done is this has led to a nationwide church that for all intents and purposes has absolutely no clue what's in this book. They have no clue what's in this book. Now, what has that led to? What does the abandonment of the scriptures, what has that led to in this country? Well, I'll tell you, countless things. For starters, parents are unsure how to discipline their children. They literally have no clue how to discipline their children. They either do whatever their parents did, they ever do what they just decide to do, but they don't realize that there's detailed instructions in here, and I'm living proof, and there's a lot of living proof in this room that it works, right? This works. Pastors and elders give horrible, horribly poor advice to their flock. That is as a result of the church abandoning God's word. What are some examples of this horrible advice? If you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's told to people every single day. The reason you have this sickness, the reason you have this ailment, the reason God hasn't healed you, even though you've prayed for God to heal you, and even though our church has prayed for God to heal you, and I, as your pastor, have prayed for God to heal you, is because you clearly don't have enough faith. That's one example. Here's another example of poor advice that pastors and elders are giving their flock. If you give to the church, God will give you back tenfold. That's not coming from here. That's not coming from a proper understanding of God's word, from cover to cover, the story, the changes in the story, the plot, the changes in the characters, etc. Right? Here's another one. We need to get a Republican president to heal the nation. That clearly is not coming from the Bible. And it's obviously not even true. So the list goes on and on. This is coming from the top down, you guys. That's why I'm calling this a crisis. This is a crisis, and it's incredibly, incredibly serious, and we're just literally watching everything come crashing down before our very eyes because people have no idea what's in God's word. Children are falling away from the faith in droves. Could that have anything to do with the fact that the Bible no longer has a place in church and in families and in education? Of course it does. The church's big thing, one of their big things, is youth ministry. Where's that in the Bible? It's not in there. Youth ministry has not succeeded, okay? Youth ministry has been an unbelievable disaster. It's led to massive immorality, and it's led to our youth abandoning the faith in millions. So they came up with that idea on their own, okay? Youth ministry. I'd highly recommend that you all watch a documentary called Divided. And that documentary shows what youth ministry has really done to our youth. And it's the exact opposite of what these churches think it's doing. So we have a crisis in America. We have a crisis in the church. We have a crisis in Christianity. And what's the worst part? The worst part is people don't even know it. They don't even know there's a crisis. They think everything is completely fine. So I believe that most problems, maybe all, that are faced by individuals and families, including everybody in this room, could be solved simply by this. Here's the problem. Here's the answer. You didn't do what the Bible said you should do. That simple. Again, most, if not all, problems that everybody faces are solved by simply, you didn't do what the Bible said you should do. And I'm going to give some examples. Why does my child throw temper tantrums? It's because you are not disciplining them and training them as the Bible says. I think that's pretty simple, right? And by the way, trust me, this works. So my daughter, who's 7, has had a total of 1 temper tantrum in her entire life. 1. So they're obviously all going to throw their first one. And if you handle it like the Bible says, that'll be it. Gavin had 2. 2. That's it. They're done. That's it. Your kids don't have to have temper tantrums. Why did said husband destroy his marriage? Because he did not love his wife as Christ loved the church. Right? That's why. Why did said wife destroy her marriage? Well, because she did not respect and submit her husband as the Bible calls for. That's why. Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but in this day and age I do, sadly. Obviously, the Bible never says that you should respect and submit an immoral husband. So we're talking about a husband that is a spiritual leader, he's a godly man, and he's leading you and leading your family. So I could keep going on and on, but most, if not all, problems come from doing things contrary to God's word, right? So what's the crisis? Here's the crisis. How are you going to know what to do? How are you going to know who to be? How are you going to know how to act if you don't know what's in God's word? How? You can't, right? You have to know what's in there to know how to do all of those things. Now, there's a lot at stake here. We're talking about eternal stakes now, okay? Your relationship with your children is at stake by not knowing what's in between Genesis and Revelation. Your relationship with your husband or wife is at stake. Your marriage is at stake. Your children's eternal souls are at stake. Your own relationship with God is at stake by not knowing God's word. And let me give you an example. I heard last night, we had 2 people over for dinner, and they told us about a mutual friend that we have who is currently mad at God. I hear this all the time. People are angry with God. Christians are angry with God. They're upset with God. They're mad at God. Now, is it a problem if somebody is mad at God? You bet it is. It's a huge problem. So what would cause someone to be mad at God? I'll tell you. They don't know what's in here. That's why they're mad. They have some fictitious idea that's come from who knows where that's contrary to this. That's why they're mad at God. If they did know God's word, they would know that you can't be mad at God and that if you are, it's a sin. It's a sin to be mad at God. Why is it a sin? Because the Bible tells us we can't be angry without a cause. There's never a justifiable cause to be angry with God. Therefore, it's a sin to be angry at God. Now, it's deeper than that. Maybe you're mad at God because your relationship you were in did not end up in marriage. Let's go to the Word. So your relationship did not end in marriage. You thought it was. Now you're upset at God. Let's go to the Word, and here's a couple questions I have for you. Why were you fornicating? Why were you living together? Maybe you shouldn't be mad at God because He already told you what to do and what not to do. Maybe you're upset with God because you have an STD. Why were you sleeping around? Maybe you're mad at God because you don't have kids, which I know somebody that is mad at God because they don't have kids. Well, if they understood this book, they would know that God no longer opens and closes the womb like He did in Genesis, in very rare circumstances in Genesis. There are many reasons that women don't get pregnant. There are many reasons that women miscarry, and it's not God doing it, right? Maybe you're mad at God because your marriage is failing. Well, that's on you, not God, right? If God cannot make someone love Him, then surely you can't either. So marriage takes 2 people freely deciding to have the other person's best interests at heart. That's on you. That's not on God. Maybe someone's upset with God because they didn't get the job they want. Well, maybe you weren't qualified. How about that? Right? So God is not a puppet master. He is not micromanaging every single area in your life. He's not going to force people against their will to hire you. That's not what God does. He's also not going to force people against their will that want to fire you. There are good people that get fired that shouldn't have. That's not how he works. If we should know anything from the Bible, right? If we know this book, what should we know? We know that we are going to live a life of persecution. That's what we should know is coming, right? We're going to be crucified for our faith. We're going to be hated for our faith. We're going to be abandoned because we love God. We're going to be cursed because we love Jesus Christ. We're going to be spited. We're going to be despised. We're going to be excluded, reviled, and cast out. That's what the Bible tells us is coming for us. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. What does that mean? That means it's not going to be a cakewalk, right? We're going to have to endure. Now, we don't have to endure to be saved anymore in the body of Christ, but this is what the Bible tells us is going to happen. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Let's go to Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That is a blessing. That is a blessing when men hate you for the Son of Man's sake. That is what the Bible tells us to expect. Now, life as a Christian is not God paving your path with gold, as so many churches try to say, right? That's not what it is. It's not God sitting there and giving you whatever you ask for, whatever you need. That's not what this is about. Times have changed. Last time I checked, God no longer rains manna down from heaven, right? He doesn't deposit money into your bank account. That's not how God works today. The idea that if you just love God and then everything will be smooth sailing does not come from the Bible. It does not come from having a complete understanding of how God has interacted with mankind from Adam and Eve until today. That's not where that's coming from. Nope, it's going to be rough. It's going to be real rough. And in my opinion, it's way worse in other countries to be a Christian than it is in America. Way worse. So we still have it fairly easy. So I think we should all be thankful for that. But we need to know what is to come. And it's not what churches are claiming. Now, the church today is not even recognizable as a church. It's not. What is church today? It's entertainment. It's a show. It's a production. It's a place to make you feel good so that you give money. It's a business. That's what the church has turned into. And in my opinion, it's because this has been abandoned. That's why. That's why the church in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, looks nothing like the church today. Nothing. Black and white. The family has been completely destroyed. Spouses are miserable. Spouses hate each other. The Christian divorce rate is a mile high. Children hate their parents. Parents hate their children. Children become criminals. Children grow up to hate God. And just in case you forgot, I'm actually talking about Christians when I say this. These are people who go to church. These are people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. So, this is, without a doubt, a crisis. Now, God gave Israel the law, and he also gave Israel judges, right? Now, he also gave them himself. So he gave them himself, he gave them his law, and he gave them judges. In my opinion, he gave us so much more. He gave us his word. That is so much more than what he gave Israel. He gave us detailed instructions. Detailed instructions on how to do practically anything that matters, right? Getting married, starting a family, working, leading a flock, fellowshipping with other believers. He gave us detailed instructions on all of this. He prepared us for the problems that we'll face. We don't even have to get blindsided. We were prepared for what's going to happen. He gave us solutions to the very problems that he told us were going to happen. Solutions that work. He literally gave us everything we could ever need right here in one simple book. But we don't care. The church does not care that he's given us all of that more than he ever gave Israel. And what do? We let this book collect dust on our shelves at home. Or, even worse, we just throw it away. We don't even care. We literally just throw it away. What good is having a Bible? So we're going to get to heaven one day. There's going to be a lot of Christians, a lot of people that are going to ask God why he didn't communicate more clearly. And you know what he's going to say? I did. You didn't listen. It was all right there. You talk to Christians all the time, and what are they trying to tell you? Well, I'm trying to figure out what God wants for me. Right? I'm trying to listen for this voice where God is going to tell me to go work this job, to go marry this person, to have kids at this particular time. So, everybody, I'm not saying that I have the Bible memorized. That's not what I'm trying to say up here. I'm not saying I know everything about the Bible. The Bible is a book that we can study, that we can read, that we can dwell on for the rest of our life, an entire life, and still learn something new each and every day. That's how incredible that book is. But the important part is we have to make the decision to make it a priority. If we don't make it a priority, we're not going to do it. That's just a reality in today's day and age. We have to make an effort. So what does that look like? Well, for starters, you need to find a church that teaches the Bible. And sadly, that's not easy in today's day and age. But that's a good first step. Find a church that actually teaches the Bible. Here's one that a lot of you aren't going to like to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway. Wake up earlier and come to Sunday school. Wake up an hour earlier on Sunday and come to Sunday school. Okay? So, Bob has never said this to me, but I guarantee you, because it's human nature, it would be a lot more encouraging for Bob to teach Sunday school with a full room than an empty room. It's very discouraging if you have three people listening to something that you spent a lot of time preparing. I'd consider this. Spend a few dollars to get Bob's Bible studies and sermons. And Daryl has made it literally as easy as possible to get these in whatever medium you prefer, okay? You can get them in Blu-ray if you're into the HD, which I am. You can get them on DVD. You can get them on MP3 CD. You can get them as an audio CD for people's cars that don't have an MP3 player. You can get a download, okay? So literally, you just click a download link on your computer and you get a video of the sermon or the Bible study. You can have a download link to the audio of the sermon or the Bible study. It's incredibly easy. Now, Bob had no idea that I was going to say this, and I also feel qualified to say this, but I believe that Bob is the best Bible teacher in America today. And it's an incredible resource that we all have access to, either by showing up for Sunday school, showing up on Sunday mornings for sermons, or we have them available if for some reason we can't make it, because obviously we can't all be here every single week. The resources are there. It just takes what? It takes, you have to make the decision that, hey, I do care. I do want to know what's inside of God's word. Then you have to set aside a little bit of time for it. Fancy that. You got to set aside a little bit of time for God. And then it might cost a little bit of money. But I want to say this. That money is practically nothing compared to what you're getting in return. And that money helps support the church and helps support Bob, who has dedicated his life to this ministry, this church, teaching the Bible. So you guys probably don't know this, but Bob makes very little money. It's always very tight financially. Connie and Al can attest to that. I was there for 5 years. And so it would also be amazing to do what we can to make sure that we're supporting Bob, supporting the church. Obviously, none of this is for free. If anybody's curious what my salary is, it's zero, so you don't have to worry about that. So I really do think this is a crisis. I want everybody to at least just take a moment to think about it. to kind of examine yourselves, maybe look at your own life, and realize the devastating impact of what's happened to the church in America because we've abandoned God's word. And I think that that is the foundation to turning things around, is getting back to God's word. And the only way we can get back to God's word is if we know what's in God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'd just like to come to you right now and just thank you so much for the Bible. And just thank you so much for putting something together that you knew we would need. Putting something together that's just so easily accessible to us. Something that we can turn to in times of need. We can turn to it to learn how to raise a family, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to run a church, how to lead people to you. And I would just pray that you would help this country, help us realize the crisis that we're in, help us realize what we have at our fingertips and how important it is, and just help those that have seen the problem, that know what we're dealing with, will not only take the steps in their own life to read your word, to know what's in there, to have a desire to know what's in there, but will also help others realize the problems we're going through. Help them realize that the answers to their problems are found in the scriptures. I just want to pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.